talk to Mitch, the Koori Kid Burkitt, an Aboriginal Australian mixed martial artist from the Central Coast, New South Wales, Australia. Awesome bloke. It's a great yarn, eh? Just jumping into who he is as a mixed martial artist and where that all stemmed from in Western Sydney, now up on the Central Coast, and where his career is at now and where he looks at taking it down the line going forward. Wish nothing but the best for the bloke. Awesome. And want to thank our sponsors, Permabil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four wheels right here, and they've got great assistive tech also. So righto, let's get into it.
Keep rolling with Jake Briggs.
Oh yeah! Get the makeup chick, eh? We need to get dusted up a bit here. Nah.
Yeah, makeup.
All right. So rolling. Mitch, the Koori Kid Burkitt. Thanks for coming down, brother.
All good, brother. Good to see you, Jake.
Yeah. Mate, just want to kick it off. Proud Aboriginal fella. Where's your mob from, man?
Camilleroy, mate. I'm down from the Pilliga.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's me mob.
Mate, we might be sharing family there. I'm Camilleroy too.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a few around, like.
Yeah. Going strong, yeah. Second largest tribe.
It was a big mission down there, I think. Yeah. Everyone got shipped out to the same place, really, like.
Yeah. And... So did you live it all up that way?
No, I was originally born down in Blacktown, and I lived there for my first 16 years of my life, pretty much brought up around the Aboriginal community down there, and then moved up to the Central Coast, pretty much the remainder.
Yeah, it's a lot of Kooris down that way, like down like Blacktown and going out west, like massive community. Yeah, because that's one of the most highly populated areas of Aboriginals, like in Australia in general.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it was a real shift moving from there to the coast. Because down there, you grew up really proud, and up here, it's a little bit different, dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel like that, like being on Dark and Young Country, and just, like, is it mixing up with some of the other Kooris and that up here, or just the feel of what the coast is?
Just the feel, man. The community as well can be a little bit tattered and broken. A little bit, like all over the joint, people looking after their own interests kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then just like racism in general on the coast, like, is a lot worse than what I'd cop in Blacktown, Doonside.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Just growing up. Like, yeah. Stuff like that, yeah.
Well, that's it. You've not, you know, because you spent a good chunk of your life down there.
Yeah.
And I'm from Western Sydney too, so, you know, I know what, you know, that's like. But, you know, more of the Aboriginal... like population is like out your way, you know, like, because I deal with like with work where I've dealt with like Koori Court down in Parramatta and Surry Hills, and like a lot of the kids coming through are, you know, from like Blacktown area and that Mount Druitt.
Yeah. I think my dad was saying one of his mates is one of the education officers down there at Shouvey, and they've got like hundreds at the, just in the school, like hundreds of Aboriginal kids. It's hitting high numbers.
Yeah. A lot of Kooris down there. So you still got a bit of family in that down there? Or?
Me Nan and Nat lives down there. Nan and Pop, and me Dad and Mum pretty much grew up around Shouvey and stuff like that. So
So that's where the roots are, and that carves out who you are today, Western Sydney roots,
Kind of just that, hard Western Sydney mentality, man, like was ingrained into me from a very young age.
And so where'd mixed martial arts come into the scene, brother?
Well, I was probably around like 18, 20, and I was running a bit of amok, doing like a few stupid things like we all do, and then I just thought I had to change things up, so I started getting into mixed martial arts. But when I was younger, my dad used to train a lot of boxing, and I used to go around with my dad when I was like six to a lot of gyms and that, just watch him train. So I'd always been kind of fascinated by sport, and that was just come from boxing kind of thing, and then turned into that.
With that kicking off, so with mixed martial arts, so when did you first get, so you've gone through boxing, you've done a lot of that, floating around gyms with your old man, your father, So when did you get a sniff of mixed martial arts? Like, did you see, were you watching a fight? Or
it would have been maybe about when I was 12. Dad came home one time with a few DVDs and so very young age, probably introduced your son to MMA. At the time it as well, like, it was seen as like cockfighting, you know what I mean?
Blood sport.
Yeah, like watched that and was always kind of intrigued. Yep. Always watched a lot of boxing growing up.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Shannon Taylor and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
And then just as I got older, I wanted to really get into jiu-jitsu. I got into jiu-jitsu, did a few things with that, and then just made the crossover.
Yeah, right. So when you made the crossover, so was the jiu-jitsu mainly up here on the coast, or it was down in Sydney, or where did...
That was up here. When I was about 20, I started at an MMA gym, done about 3 months there, and then I was like, I had to get my skill base up, so I started going and sourcing like better boxing coaches, better jiu-jitsu coaches and stuff like that, and just working on my skill base, like which a lot of guys weren't doing at the time. So a lot of guys were just going to an MMA gym, learning a bit of this, learning a bit of that, but nothing real technical and real hard, and they weren't getting the sparring with the guys they should have been getting the sparring with.
Now
it's all changed and everyone's, you know, going to Thai classes, doing boxing classes, doing proper jiu-jitsu classes and rolling with the specialists in their arts.
Yeah, so with the jiu-jitsu, so is that like your prime, like if you're talking about discipline, you've been doing a bit of boxing, doing a bit of jiu-jitsu, so also a bit of Muay Thai and everything else involved, like just trying the different disciplines to...
Yeah, and just figuring out what works for you, you know what I mean? Mm. Like certain fighters have certain tools kind of thing, and you can, like if I go to a Thai class, they'll go, oh, we'll teach him how to be a Thai fighter, which you need to go to all these people and learn all these things, but you need to be able to come back to yourself
and just know where your strengths are.
Yeah, where your strengths are and how you're going to work that into your game. As opposed to like if you go to like say a boxing coach, you might go, he's weak with his jabby, so we'll work on his jab. Whereas the jab mightn't be his punch. Do you know what I mean? So you work a whole lot of weaknesses that aren't going to be real effective in MMA. Like you will see Conor McGregor, for example. He knows what his shots are.
Yeah.
And he sticks to his shots.
That's it. Especially when you look at Eddie Alvarez, when he had that four punch combo, like just a sequence of it, just every shot counted and he knew where they were going to land.
I think.
And just how he knows to approach space.
The distance and range. The boxing thing as well.
That's it.
And I think just like. It's a lot harder if you've got all these tools and weapons and you're looking at someone going, where are the openings? As opposed to he's looking at you going, when this left hand's on, I'm going to nail it right in your face. Do you know what I mean? He's simplified it and he's putting 100% effort and technique into that thing as opposed to having like his energy.
Just throwing all something
over
wild
the joint.
It's going to drag down your cardio and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So how long did it take to. Like you go into all these different disciplines, right, and finding the different tools that work for you, like for your weight, for your body, for your height, all that sort of stuff. So what was the best fit for your style as a mixed martial artist?
For me, I've got a good left hand when I can land it, but I've got to keep things long, so I probably shouldn't be giving away too much.
Giving away your secret sauce, bro.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people know what we go is to. So did you watch my last fight at all?
I've seen bits and pieces.
That didn't go for very long, so you've probably seen the whole thing. But I'd started opening up a bit more with what I'd training, and I'd realised, so when he shot for a takedown, I threw an uppercut thinking he was going to shoot for a double and his head was going to be there. Mm. But normally when I fight, I throw a jab or I step off and throw a hook, which I probably should have done. But because I'd tried all these new things, I'd open my game up a little more and I threw the wrong shot. Do you know what I mean? So
that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
So threw it and that's when he just came in for the takedown and got it down. And do you want to throw in the result there? So that was with...
Inverted triangle he ended up getting me with.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Stuart's a really high-level guy, so I wasn't like... I went in there to win, but at the same time I knew it was going to be a hard challenge.
Mm.
I don't want to take easy fights, so...
And what was the lead up to it, like knowing that the caliber that Stuart was?
It was heartbreaking, man. Like it was 17 weeks. I worked for 17 weeks really fucking hard and then over in a minute. So
yeah.
Yeah, but that's the sport.
That's it. Yeah. You know, it can happen in a minute or you can get the three rounds and who knows where it's going to come through, eh?
Yeah.
And just depending on the skill level or whose style fits whose or if they oppose each other. But so going back to, say, the foundation, right, who's your head coach and what gym do you train out of?
I don't really have a head coach, to be honest. So what I do, I train around, like I go to jiu-jitsu, probably I train at Gracie Barra, probably one of the best gyms on the coast. And then I'll just...
The one at Erina?
Yeah. Oh, I train at Wong at the moment. I used to train at the one at Erina.
Yep.
Then I train my Muay Thai at All Sorts there. And I do my own boxing and stuff like that, bringing my own sparring and stuff like that, if I'm not sparring at Thai Boys as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So just mixing it up and just being ready to fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So is your base sort of like freestyle in a way, would you say?
Yeah. Like just the scrapper, man, like...
Yeah. Shit. Take that Western Sydney style and throw it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so who's – so if you don't have any head coach or is there anybody a part of your team at all or it's just
– I've got guys that come to corner me and stuff like that. But like not really. Like the guys I train with in my team and that's about it really. But that's like if you want to do the sport, you kind of got to be able to get the work in where you can, you know what I mean? Like there's not the opportunities to train at all these other places like you get.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I find guys are training at MMA gyms and they're doing themselves a disservice by not going to all these other gyms and training. So it's just, you know what I mean? Like you got to find what works for you.
Yeah.
And just believe in yourself.
Yeah. So if you think you found what's right for you here, because it's mainly the Central Coast, do you venture out of the Central Coast for any year training?
Not at the moment, just because I'm busy with kids and stuff like that. Would like to venture out a bit more and stuff like that. But I've got a system and it's working. Like, just I'm probably overlooking a bit of my training because of this last fight and what happened. But shit happens, so yeah. That's and it. I felt more ready than I've ever felt. So at the same time, I can't complain. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I've taken fights, like the fight I fought on Hex, I took that fight with a torn knee. And
what, this, are you saying this one recently?
No, the year and one, sorry, a year and a half ago.
Yep.
So like I'm ready to fight anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm just got that mentality where like if I'm training, I'm being punched in the head and I'm doing the work, I'll have a scrap.
So how was the neck? It wasn't ACL, PCL or
MCL? Oh, I didn't even go get it checked out, to be honest. So like... When you're a black fella, you don't really have money to do that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Once your body's broken, your body's broken. Unless Medicare's sorting you out. So,
you know, just shake it around, you know, see if it's not broken, just keep walking on it, rehab it a little bit, see how it goes.
And I'm pretty educated with the whole rehab side of things and that as well. So, like...
That's good.
Yeah. Like, if I have I've had neck injuries and stuff like that, I come back probably quicker than most of these guys going to doctors, to be honest.
Yeah,
because they don't do what needs to be done to get back, or they don't do the strength and condition. Like, you know, guys will train MMA, throwing kicks and throwing punches and then do no weights or no strength and conditioning in the right way to build their muscles up. Like, so when I tore my
head... Do you do
that
at All Sorts as well?
That's the good thing I've got going on there. It's 24/7 to go in, do whatever I want, whenever I want. And like when I tore my knee, because I'd been doing heavy squats and all that sort of stuff, I had strength around my knee to support my knee still, but there's been times where I haven't done strength and conditioning and there hasn't been any support around the knee, and when that knee goes, it's 4 weeks out, straight away. So,
do you brace it up or anything, tape it?
Yeah, you can tape it and brace it, but I think with the CSA in New South Wales, you can't actually tape for fights. So what I was taping it up for this fight, and then I think I was allowed to tape it in Melbourne, but I didn't. I was just, the adrenaline will kick in and I'll be sweet.
And
that's what happened.
That's it. It goes into fight or flight mode. You know, you got your target in front of you, and that's when you're not really thinking about injuries and whatnot. You're thinking of the goal.
And that was, first fight on Hex on Fox Sports. So I was like, didn't want to pull out at all. You know what I mean? Like, wanted to take that opportunity.
Mate, and there'll be more to come, that's for sure. But when you're doing your strength and conditioning, so are you doing a lot of this stuff lone soldier? Or you got people that you're training with there?
I've got a diploma in fitness as well, so I've got a lot of knowledge on my strength and conditioning and how to do it. So I'm pretty, I switched on with that kind of stuff. And when I was growing up, all I ever did was watch my old man train for like 6 hours a day, pretty much after work. Like, he's a fanatic with it. So I've got a pretty solid base behind me before I've even got there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always had a routine of fitness that's pretty much straight in your blood.
Yeah,
brother,
yeah. I don't need to be pushed. I'll push myself. Like, If anything, my life will fall apart, man, from training. So, yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know your body best and what works.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's doing it with other people or by yourself, you know, and especially when you are hurting your knee and just taking it, well, if you are taking it easy and just, building up all those little stabilizer muscles.
Well, that's another problem you see. A lot of people go to people for stuff. They'll have an injury, then they'll go and that guy will push them and you'll injure them. Instead of them going, right, I can't train this today, being smart about the training, I got to go train this and adapt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they'll go and they're trying to please somebody else. And that's where the injuries come in, because they're hiding or covering up the injury. You know what I mean? That whole. So you got to know, you got to know like what you're doing with it.
Yeah. And knowing what you're doing with it. So have you always fought at flyweight?
Yeah. So,
because that's hard weight cut too. Yeah,
not anymore. Like, my last cut was really easy. So I've got that down with my diet. And now I've got a really good nutritionist, combat nutrition.
Yeah.
And he kind of – I thought I had an idea beforehand. He's kind of just nailed it all in and fixed it all up. And now it's like no hassle cutting weight at all.
Yeah.
Like, I've had cuts where I've cut 4 or 5 kilos in a day before a fight.
A day?
Yeah.
What are you doing to get down that much in a bloody day?
Nearly dying. Yeah. So, this time it was like a kilo on the last day I had the cut. So easily done.
Not too bad.
15, 20 minutes in the sauna, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I felt fit, felt healthy, felt like I could fight at the weigh-ins. I've never felt like that before.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm figuring things out and it's all starting to come together. And like, I'm fighting the highest level guys in the division. There's probably a few higher, like the top five, but if you look at the fights I've taken from the start, they're all been quality matchups for the level I'm at. I haven't gone, oh, I'm going to fight this guy, he's a pushover, he's a walkover.
Yeah,
going to
take a bum,
And people can see it, you know what I mean, when they watch the sport, so.
Well, that's it. If you really want to have a crack, like, you want to sort of get someone that's going to really test your skills,
Yeah. There's a lot of backwardsness with it, like, so, like, you're taking these easy fights to impress your friends and that. It's not real marketing, you know what I mean? Like, you want to impress the guy that's just come out of nowhere to watch you or watch the fights, and he goes, like, that's a good matchup, that was a good fight. That's how you make proper fans.
Yeah.
You can only carry the locals so far, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And going back to, like, combat nutrition, so how long out of your fight, like with your fight camp and everything else with preparation, so how many weeks do you get in a routine with, say, combat nutrition, whatever the schedule is and the training that you're doing leading up to the actual fight camp?
So basically I just communicate with him and then he'll give me what I need to do to make the weight. But I'm pretty spot on usually anyway out from the camp. Like, I don't go too far heavy. As soon as I start training, like, my body gets into shape real quick and I don't stop training, man, so it's, you know what I mean? I'm just real militant with it anyway.
So it doesn't matter win, loss or draw, you're the next day you're up and at it, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't muck around, brother. That's for sure. So have you ever jumped into considered bantamweight or some of the other weights that, or you just feel like flyweight's just best fit for you?
I've tossed it up a little bit.
Because you're a big flyweight.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't know if my chin suffers at all from it because of it. Like, it didn't seem to when I fought on Hex. I clopped head kicks and everything in that fight and still come out the other end of the decision. So I don't think it does affect my chin. And that was a bad cut too. So this cut was really easy. And that's why I was kind of more upset. I really wanted to test those 5 rounds out.
Yeah.
See how they went. But we'll get another chance to try it out. But, a lot of the guys from bantamweight can be cutting down from, say, 75, 80 kilos. Like,
jeez.
So then you're thinking they're packing some of those guys are packing a lot of power. Like, yeah, could be featherweights.
Yeah. It makes a massive difference, hey? Like, people don't realise, like, they just think you can, like, you jump up and then you'll just easily be, you fit into that division, but there's a whole lot of...
The TJ Dillashaw one was a good example.
Yeah, are you talking about with Henry Cejudo, fight? Yeah. Well, just, he looked like a skeleton before weigh-ins. That's right,
and he's about the same height as me, so when I looked at it, I'm like, fuck, how do I do it?
Yeah, but then you look at his frame... Because what are you? You're about, what, 5'8" or...?
5'7".
5'7", yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but like... My family's real skinny, you know what I mean? So having like Asian blood, Aboriginal blood as well, like real smaller build.
Yep.
So you look at TJ Dillashaw, he would walk around about 75 kilos, like when he's out of camp. Like he'd blow right out. And then probably all those performance enhancers as well.
Yeah. All those Mexican supplements. Yeah. No, but so what's your walk around weight at?
62 to 66.
Oh, you don't have to cut.
No, what
you're
I mean.
There,
like,
pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I'm there, bro. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So going back to it, like, when you are cutting weight, so when you're in the sauna, are you moving about? Have you got a sweatsuit on?
No,
like, what are you doing?
Get in the sauna and just get the last bit of water out. Usually, I only do a 15-minute, then come out for 5, back in for 15 minutes. Do it real safe.
Yeah.
Do it the right way. Eat the right food.
Like. Yeah. How's the body feel when you're going through the weight cut?
Used to feel shit.
Especially if
like
it's a bad one. Like,
bad. I've had fights where I had to pull out of a fight because I had the weight cut was that bad. I ended up getting a virus or a fever when I was like had the weight off, and then I tried to eat and just spewed up, was pissing out everything, couldn't put fluid or water back on, and that was like after that I started figuring out properly how to cut the weight and that. But yeah, like that really messed me up, and the weight cut would have had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Well. Just your body couldn't just handle taking that influx of food.
Three, four water. Kilos of water in a day, you know what I mean? And like
that's
when I was in a sweatsuit and then like in the bath, out of the bath, like in the sauna for hours.
Well, were you actually working out in the sweatsuit, just going for a run or?
Well, if I do work out in the suit, it'll be before I go in the sauna just to heat the body up. I try not to wear the suit in the sauna too much. It's probably not as necessary. Like you just stay
it's
in
pretty
there.
Pretty full on.
Yeah. Like you're just pushing it too hard.
Yeah.
And you heat up, like, and then when you heat up, you probably haven't sweat before your body's going to overheat, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, it's just more taxing on your organs and that.
Oh, big time, kidneys, liver, all that sort of stuff.
But, like, keeping your electrolytes up and that is a big thing, which I didn't do a lot of that before. So, like, just smashing your electrolytes and keeping your salts and that up in your body before you
come to the last week.
Yeah.
Cutting weight's pretty full on. Like, you hear of some blokes where... You know, like you said, the TJ Dillashaws, where they're cutting all the way down and don't do it properly, and then they have to pull out of fights.
Yeah.
Because, you know, their kidneys and everything else is, you wouldn't say failing, but they take a good hit and then they're passing out and whatnot. And
Yeah.
Because I've seen, like, you hear a lot of fighters where they're talking about, you know, taking the whole weight cut out and sort of fight at your natural weight.
So I've always thought about it, like, how would I go at 61? Like I did have a lot of boxing fights at 61, and I was three and one as an amateur boxer as well. So, and a lot of I did do fairly well at 61. It was when I did actually do a fight at amateur boxing at 57 kilos, and I had to cut that weight 2 hours before the fight. So that had like,
oh, man.
Yeah. So I've got down there, and when that guy didn't have any power or nothing, but when he hit me, like it was like strobe lights in my head. So, and I was like, that felt like the hardest I've ever been hit. Thankfully, like, I won that fight and got a couple of knockdowns and whatever else. So there must have been a power crossover as well for me.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure, but, yeah, it just felt a whole different... Getting hit didn't feel good, eh?
Yeah, I wouldn't, brother.
Yeah.
And, yeah, because you see some of these guys that with the weight cutting where... And just how big they are. Like, if you look at John Jones, you look at, say, Luke Rockhold, where, you know, these guys... Like, especially, like, say, Luke Rockhold, like, where this guy's probably walking around at 100 kegs, and then he fights at light heavy now, but, and that hasn't done him any favours because I think he's been knocked out twice. But when he was cutting down a middleweight, like, that's a big dude at that weight, you know, 84 kegs. Like,
well, and then, like, Romero and that, the guys he's fighting are, like, just compact.
Oh, that bloke, he's traps. They're up to his ears, eh?
Yeah.
Those Cuban jeans, man. Yeah, so who inspires you most when you're looking at overall mixed martial arts, brother, or if it's pulling from different disciplines?
Well, I'd have to say, like, it's probably a shit inspiration, but, like, the Diaz brothers, eh? Like,
the Stockton slap.
They're the only ones that really interest me, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and have for a long time. And it's just, I don't know, like, a lot of people don't understand them and that, but I think being from where we're from and that, you do understand them, you know what I mean? Yeah. You do understand what they're trying to say.
Yeah, so, going up in some of those hard areas and what that represents. Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of, you see it in MMA a lot, like a lot of rich kids getting good training and whatever else, only because they got the money, you know what I mean? And, like, they've done it a different way to what most guys have done it. You can't, they can't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you reckon you got cardio like the Diaz brothers or what?
Oh, I'd like to inspire to have cardio like the Diaz brothers.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
they seem like they can just keep going.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've got four brothers, so we all grew up punching on boxing and that too. So, like, there is a bit of that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, just go all day and just punch the shit out of each other.
Yeah. So what's, talking about cardio, so what do you get into? A bit of bike, just straight up running, swimming?
Yeah, running pretty much. And then, like, I do a lot of bike riding, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. But yeah, just running, bike riding.
Would it be training. a bit of bush, bit of road, sand?
Bit of everything, yeah, dunes, everything.
Do you get down to Nora Head, run the dunes there?
Every Sunday, on my recovery day, that's my Sunday, so I'll go down there and I'll do the stairs or the dunes.
Every Sunday?
Yeah, that's my recovery, so.
Yeah. Well, if you want to mix it up with this fella, come get on the bandwagon and run the dunes with him. Yeah, put him to the test, eh? Yeah, so, and being an Aboriginal fella, proud Kamilaroi man, what's that mean to you, being Aboriginal and a mixed martial artist?
I feel like my career's a little bit bigger than me, you know what I mean? Like, I've got to keep going and keep pushing and keep, not even just for, like, it's at the same time just for my family, but for, like, mob in general. Like, I've got a lot of, like, people I grew up with that are doing it tough in a lot of different ways, you know what I mean? So I feel like if I could just keep doing what I'm doing, it gives them a little bit of hope or a little inspiration to maybe push a little harder as well, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's just something like that. Like,
just representing the mob, having them on your shoulders.
Like, I didn't grow up like, I was a gentle kid kind of thing, but the way I was brought up and the way most black fellas were brought up kind of led me down this path.
Mm.
And it's kind of a blessing and a curse, but if I want it to be about something, I want it to be about, you know, mob trying a little bit harder, you know what I mean? And fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, treating yourself what you're worth, brother. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And having the mob behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got a big mob behind you, Kamilaroi, but not just Kamilaroi. Like, you know, you got, like, just looking at your shirt now, and for the listeners here, man, I love that shirt, just with the Koori design all over it. But, yeah, it's not that one secular tribe. It's having all the mob around Australia, you know? And having that representation like that, that means a lot, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And I've, like, tried a little, like, one thing I want to try is to get, we've been trying to get dancers at the walk-ins and that, but it's probably a little bit too little for that yet, so.
Yeah.
Keep pushing.
Just pushing, build it up. And talking about, like, Aboriginality, I'm just thinking of what, and I think that's great, what Robert Whittaker's doing at the moment, where he's got a program that he's running through TAFE, so it's rural, remote. I'm pretty sure it's just in New South Wales for the time being.
Yep.
I know it's running through TAFE, and it's got to do with business or sport, but also incorporating jiu-jitsu
for
a lot of mob out there. Because I started seeing him on social media, like, where it says Gracie on a grey shirt, and then it's got the Aboriginal flag colours in there, you know?
Yep.
I'm like, what's going on there? And then looked into it a bit, and I'm like, yeah, he's helping a lot of mob out there, which, you know, which is empowering the mob.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's
it's
what
a
we
good
need.
Program. Very good program. That's where I got my diploma of fitness from. And then,
went through his course.
It's a good program, yeah.
Shout out to Robert Whittaker.
Yeah, helping a lot of people out. It's just, there's, like, little things as well. Like, one thing I want to do is one day make jiu-jitsu accessible to black fellas, you know what I mean? Like, we've got a lot of, like, boxing and stuff we can go do and stuff like that, but jiu-jitsu is a really, like, it's a middle-class sport, man. Like, to be honest. It's real hard to get into, especially if you're a black fella. I'd like to do something around that. You know what I mean? Like they can, at the moment, you've got this course and they can go do that course, but you don't really have anything back into the communities. And we could have a lot of top fighters.
That's yeah, it. Yeah. You know, if you're putting it in and mob's taking interest and they're looking at someone like you and looking at some of the other Australian fighters and they're like, righto, I can give this a crack and put in the hard work and just see where it goes, eh?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Jiu-jitsu is one of those sports too, man, where like a lot of like Aboriginal fellas can go to boxing and be naturally good at it, you know what I mean? Continue doing what they're doing in life. But with jiu-jitsu, you kind of got to go, right, fucking sit down, I'm going to learn this. And you've got to put your whole mind into it, into learning the art. You know what I mean?
Was it a pretty humbling experience for yourself when you started out?
Yeah, well, that you never, no one walks into jiu-jitsu and has a good day their first day.
Ego's left at the
That's
door.
That's right, yeah. But, like, yeah, you can see a lot of black fellas walk in a boxing gym, man, and light that place up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They probably just come out from the mission, or if it's city black fellas, and then it's like throw them in the ring and it's bang the school there straight away.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not like, you know, there's a lot of Aboriginals that are at the top of the echelon of sports in all sporting codes in Australia, and it's good to see it coming into combat sports at the highest level.
Yeah.
You know, wherever it's got to do with Hex or UFC or whatever it may be. And is that the promotion that you fight under most with Hex?
I haven't fought in Hex in 2 years. Probably XFC at the moment.
Yeah.
Probably push for another fight in there soon. But I've been pretty, train's been off and on at the moment with the holidays and that, so I'm just looking to get back into the groove because I had bronchitis as well. So
yeah,
just getting back into the groove and then hopefully something in like 12 weeks or something like that, be ready to go.
12 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So are there a couple of flyweights on the radar?
Yeah, I've got a few guys in my inbox asking for fights, so I just keep them quiet and thing. I get a little talkative when I want to push for something, but apart from that I'm happy just to wait for the challenge, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, as it leads up and put it out there, and it's a bit of a mix of that, like say if you're talking to each other, is it, and then approaching a promoter and say, hey, we're looking at maybe getting in, having a scrap, like just talk us through that process, bro.
Well, how do you mean, like just like, find them fights?
Yeah, like do you just get a call up from Hex and say, hey, we got old mates ready to go
in? To be honest, I'm the guy they bring in to build their guy up, and it didn't work a couple of times. So, you know, like I've kind of jumped really – I jumped really high really quickly. Like it only took me 2 or 3 years, I think, from amateur to the top 10 – to I was in the top 10, and then I went back a little bit. But – Yeah, so usually, like, I'll get a promotion and they've got a boy and they'll ring me up and they'll be like, do you want this fight or whatever? I'm going to take the fight.
Why not?
Ask for a bit of money sometimes because they need a fighter.
Yeah, well, that's it.
But, yeah,
if
there's nothing really.
You,
we are hoping to bring a show. I'm probably not going to say too much about it. Hoping to bring a show to the coast.
Oh, great.
So hopefully that goes down and then I'll be able to bring a guy out here, you know what I mean? But usually it's just, I'm just going to direct go around chasing fights.
So where have most of your fights been, mainly like within New South Wales? Have you had to travel interstate?
Urban Fight Night. So I had my first 4 fights on Urban Fight Night. That was around Sydney. And then after that, I had a fight on Super Fight in Sydney as well. And then Hex in Melbourne, which was a good promotion. Like they look after you real well as well. And then XFC in Queensland, which were another really good promotion, like looked after me real well as well.
Yeah. So XFC's based up there and then Hex is based
in
down in Victoria. Yeah, so you've had to get the wings on and fly around. So
I've never had the hometown advantage. So
come on, bring something to the coast.
Yeah. And some of the early fights, like I've had hundreds of people in the crowd against me, so that doesn't faze me at all.
How do you feel that? Like when you got the people in the crowd just
ecstatic when I win, like like in your face.
Yeah. So what ounce gloves are you wearing?
4 ounce.
Yeah, because I was just thinking, would it be like the typical 4 ounce?
Yeah.
So take us through, brother, when you're preparing for a fight, when you're in the locker room, like, what's going through your head when you're sitting there without giving away secret sauce? What, like, how are you feeling? Is it anxiety? What is it?
No, you can, you feel the, not even, I don't even call it nerves, to be honest. It's like your body pumps itself up. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've kind of, it was nerves, and then if you're at the, in the beginning, you do ride them a little bit. But now you, like, you start to realise after you have a few fights, like, it's just your body getting itself ready, you know what I mean? Like, you have the, your mind's racing, you just meditate, brother, like,
yeah,
fucking slow everything down. I'm the type of fighter too that I don't have to come out overly aggressive and chase things, and you know what I mean, like, get myself real pumped up. I can, like,
you're ready to go straight, like, ready to go, yeah, but yeah, calm and collective in a way.
Yeah, 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 sit back, look for counters, and you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I like to be a bit more technical as well. So
like with the, say, XFC, and when you're looking at Hex, like, before you work out, walk out, sorry. So they got a, the ref comes out and they're giving you a dressing down of, you know, what not to do and all that sort of stuff, yeah?
Yeah, that's a bit fucking nerve-wracking because you're hearing shit like, yeah, don't fucking punch him in the back of the head, you know what I mean? Like,
don't get him in the back of the spine.
No fucking elbows here, and like, and then you're like, yeah, well, shit's for fucking real now, you know what I mean? Like that, yeah, yeah.
And is that, what, yeah, is that when it kicks in for you, though, when the ref's giving you the dressing down?
Kicks in for me at the weigh-ins, man.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, once, I don't like to talk to anyone after, once the weigh-ins have started, that's when all, you get everyone calling you and stuff and, yeah, this and that. And I don't like to talk to anyone, man. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You just want to decompress and the phone's off, eh?
Yeah.
So, ref's dressed you down. Do you get a, what, what's your walkout song? Do you have one?
Not really. Nothing? Anything. Oh, yeah. I went with Briggs' Shep Life for a bit.
Yeah, Briggs, yeah, yeah. Shep Life.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it depends if they've got Spotify or not, I guess, yeah. The DJ.
And so walking out, so from the locker room to the cage or the ring, whatever they got. So what's that feeling like, say, from the process, from the locker to the cage, door opens up, you're stepping foot on the mat, what's going through the head? Are you still,
it's the big fucking zone? It's the weight around at first, so that's where all the nerves and shit are going down.
Yeah, and having then, all these people in the crowd carrying, like, on it. Yeah, yeah, too, so
you're kind of just waiting around to think, like, I'll put my gloves on soon, put your gloves on, warm up, still a bit jittery, and then you, when they say, like, right, you're fucking on, you just walk out and everything goes numb then. Like, from that point, basically,
yeah,
it's just fucking numb and, like, yeah, you don't feel too much. Like, it's pretty strange being on the receiving end of a beat and, like, you're just kind of observant, you know what I mean? Like, you don't really feel it. You just see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, so with your last fight, and that was for the belt with Hex, yeah?
Yeah.
And...
oh, belt with XFC, sorry.
XFC, sorry, yeah. So, XFC... you got caught up in that triangle and obviously spewing because, you, like you said, you wanted to test out the 5 rounds to see how the cardio base is going, and bang, it's done. How did you feel after that loss, brother?
Fucking shit. And it was the first time I've had, like, I've had family I hadn't seen in 20 plus years come out to support me, so that kind of thing, just shit, felt like I let people down, you know what I mean? Always feel like I let people down. I fucking hate dragging my family through that emotional side of shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sort of saying, you don't want to bring all that sort of baggage home after a big loss.
I don't even like people coming to watch me, to be honest. Like, it was a cool sport when you're young and that. When you start to get, like, you're like, why aren't people coming to watch me? When you get a bit older, you start to realise, like, I don't want people watching me get my head kicked in, like...
yeah, because you see some people, you know, even where they're bringing their kids and
stuff
to the ring,
know,
and it's like, man, you want to mix
it.
That up, you know?
Yeah, it's just a bad thing to bring a kid to, I think, like.
Yeah, just in case they see dad or mum copping a head kick and it's lights out, you know?
Even a 5-round war, man, like, cut up, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
That's it. If you're covered with blood, it's all over your face, so it's full-on sport, you know? But, you know, personally, like I said it before, off camera, I love combat sports. Yeah. Love
I think
MMA.
We all do a little bit, but I think too, like, that's
it's
like
all
a bit
us,
of,
in
a little
way.
Bit of that little propaganda gets to people where they're like, oh, it's all about pride and honor and respect and this and that. It is, but it's fucking brutal as well. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the bit of a selling point to the fans. Like, yeah.
And how's it been going, brother? Like, since you've been, you know, put up, you're going for the belt. Obviously, you're going to be known a bit more. So what's the pros and the cons with that, if it's people carrying on social media or just take us through that journey?
Really more anymore. Like, I used to be a little bit reactive. Now I'm just like, keep to myself. I don't do the sport for fucking fans anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I do the sport because I like fighting. That's basically it. Like, I want the challenge. Keeps me busy. Keeps me off the streets. Keeps me from doing stupid shit. Do you know what I mean? And like, that's the kind of internal battle I've got going on. Like, could go down the fucking path, rest of my family's gone down.
Yeah.
Or I could fucking do something, be something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's it. You know, like, you know, and good on you saying that too, brother, because you see, you know, a lot of our mob, you know, the over-representation that of incarceration and whatnot, and that's why it's good for, you know, for yourself or with Robert Whittaker's program and other mob out there that want to go out to, you know, if it's this like city or urban, rural and remote, and start teaching like not just youngsters, adults too.
Yeah.
You know, these additional skills that they can learn, like the discipline of martial arts and how that can.
Oh man, the education helps heaps. Hey, like, you see, like the TAFE had a bit of community stuff going on and that with all their programs and that. You see a lot of people doing really well, and then you just get the funding torn out the arse, you know what I mean? And then,
yes. Yeah,
you're like, mobs just suffers again, like.
Yeah, yeah. So where'd you do the course at?
Campbelltown. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That was 2.5 years because I did the PT course. We were the first people to go through the PT course, and then we did Diploma of Fitness and Business as a trial thing for the next year and a half.
Yeah.
But I think they discontinued that because we had way too many dropouts in the end. Like, it was it was a pretty intense course, to be honest. Like
to cram it in.
Well, people are coming to do a diploma of fitness, and then they're going to do this diploma in business. No business minded instinct or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, so, and doing a diploma is pretty high level. So,
yeah, and it worked out for you.
Yeah. It worked out for me.
Yeah. So, did you see Bobby Knuckles down there or what?
Yeah. A few times. Went and trained in there a couple of times.
Yeah. Is that his gym out at Padstow? Yeah. Out that way?
Smeaton Grange.
Yeah.
Yeah, real nice bunch of blokes.
Yeah, so you had a bit of a roll or a bit of a spar with the mob there?
The first time I rolled with him, he got me in a real tight dash choke, I think, and he's squeezing it, and he's touched me, and he's like, "You sure you're all right?" And I think my neck was a little small, so he had a bit more squeeze, but yeah.
Did he put you to sleep?
He got me. He's a big, strong fella.
That dude's gone through some wars, especially with that Yael Romero. You know, dude's just made out of solid steel.
Those fights, probably some of the best fights of the last decade, to be honest.
Like. Yeah, and how is that? Look at the Australian scene of MMA. Look at how it is here on the Central Coast. Like, from your perspective, how have, you know, because you've been training combat sports as a youngster and obviously dipping your toes into different disciplines, but growing up, how is the rise of MMA been for yourself and just being excited because you're seeing more people getting involved?
It's
changed
heaps.
It's
changed so much. Like, now everyone's getting all the techniques right and that. And before, like, it was a little bit of trial and error. And now, like, we've got top fighters everywhere now, for sure. Like, you can find fighters for the UFC anywhere around Australia now, easily.
Yeah, well, you look at, man, Alex Volkanovski, you know, first Australian Robert Whittaker, Australian champ, Australian New Zealand champ.
Volkanovski, man, he's an animal. Like,
yeah. I don't know how that guy was a front rower, like the size of him, but just his game plan that he had against Holloway, just chewing at the legs.
Yeah.
And
he's at another level technically and stuff as well. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone could see it for a little bit that he was just going to fucking come through and there wasn't going to be much anyone could do about it, I think.
It was predicted.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, they do a big...
It's pretty strange too, watching the rest of the world. Like, this guy's going to beat Volkanovski. And everyone in Australia is like, Nah. Not going to happen. Yeah.
That's it. We've got the game plan.
Yeah.
Going to take another
belt. He's just got that style, man. He's yeah. fucking wear on you all day. Like,
his yeah. cardio surprises me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because when you're looking at Max Holloway, he's a cardio king. And but he was just nullified by getting that front leg chopped.
A lot of the guys on the juice cup wouldn't be able to compete with him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's just got a style like a lot of the juice heads have without the juice.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like, that old, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, man.
And then his kickboxing is very technical as well.
Yeah, well, he's with that City kickboxing crew now, just, you know, with Israel Adesanya and
he was
all that crew.
Technical to begin with, and those guys are just, like, they're just another level of coaching, man, with their strategies and stuff like that.
And with wrestling, like, when he took on Chad Mendes, like, he's a top-flight wrestler.
Yeah, yeah, man, it's amazing to see him do well with the wrestling, hey, like, but it's just, I don't know, like, what is it? Is it hard work? Is it attributes? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
or playing footy for so long and just knowing tackle techniques and all that sort of stuff. But because that's what you're
always... Suppose when you do it without technique and then you learn how to do it with technique too, you know, especially being a front rower coming down the featherweight. Yeah.
That's it. But because you always hear that from overseas, they always say the best base to have is wrestling, and you can see the evidence of that.
But he works hard too, man. Like, he's a technical wrestler too. Like,
because you look at Khabib, you know, like from Dagestan, and just wrestle, and but that's just drilled, you know, from since he was a kid, you know.
Someone like Volkanovski, I think, be on the Australian wrestling team if that's what he put, you know what I mean, put his mind to just that.
Just like, as an athlete in general.
He'd probably be an Olympic wrestler, like, yeah.
And what about the Central Coast, brother, the rise up here? Like, now you're looking at Central Coast Mixed Martial Arts. That's down at Arena.
Yeah, I used to go and get a bit of sparring in down there.
Yeah.
And I just haven't been down there in a bit.
Yeah, because you got
some good guys.
Ross that's running the show, Pearson. And that's awesome having like a facility up here like that. But just because that's promoting, you know, themselves, but, you know, that's getting other gyms around here to build also, you know, because iron sharpens iron.
That's it.
And if you can get the best from, you know, each discipline or whatever it may be, getting overall what they do at Central Coast Mixed Martial Arts, or if you want it, go the other out and mix it up with a kickboxing gym and say Gracie Barron, just do that.
There's a lot of good fighters on the coast, man, even outside of mixed martial arts. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've probably got better boxers and kickboxers than we've got mixed martial artists. So
Yeah. The culture of kickboxing's always... Well, I grew up in Wyong and having, you know, Rob Murdoch's gym over.
Yeah, so that's, I've been training with those boys a little bit too.
Yeah,
like,
righto.
Yeah, he's top level, man, like.
Yeah, well, he's been training, you know, since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in the old, where Wyong Art House is now, when you had the old, what was it, Shane?
Are you thinking of like the theatre thing that they had there? Or?
Yeah, Wong, before the art house. What was that called?
Testing my memory now.
Jeez.
I can just remember when he was in near the station.
Yeah, when he had his gym there.
Yeah.
But, anyway, in that spot, because I remember seeing kickboxing matches in there, you know, in that old building. So, yeah, he's been around doing stuff for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's had some top flight kickboxers too.
Yeah, heaps,
like,
man.
Pros around Australia and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of stuff that you can draw upon around on the coast. But did you see, I was pumped on that fight, Malarkey's.
Malarkey's tough
fight.
Too, man.
Yeah. Have you sparred up with him?
Yeah, sparred with him a bit. He's a big dude too, man. Like,
I was going to say, he looks like a big flyweight,
featherweight.
Big featherweight.
Yeah. He's more lightweight as well, so...
Oh, okay.
So he's a fairly big, rangy dude. Like, and yeah, I'd move around with him a bit and that, but like, he'd probably fucking run over me. You know what I mean? Like, a lot bigger.
Yeah, that's it. But, well, have they got a pretty good facility down there?
Yeah, great facility, yeah. It's just being able to get down there at the time. That's why I do the 24/7 thing, man, because it's like, don't know what's going to happen with work, kids, you know what I mean? So when that does happen, I still go in and get me work if it's 2 a.m, 10 p.m, you know what I mean? Like,
mate, you're grinding it out.
Yeah.
2 a.m, not mucking around. So how's that balance? Family, life, fighting?
Fucking crazy, but I just need to be like that. Like, if I'm not doing anything, I'm going to do something stupid.
So you're sort of saying you thrive in controlled chaos in a, sense.
Yeah. Well, I just need to be busy all the time. If I've got time to sit around and think, you know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. No time to sit around and think.
Yeah, you just got to keep active all the time, and that's, you know, giving you that mental stability.
You get real negative real quick, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So as long as you keep burning those calories and training, that's just keeping you focused.
Yeah.
Even if you're not like looking for a fight coming down the line.
Even like I won't drink, man. I don't think I had a drink for 2 years at one spot there just because I was training all the time. But if you give me a fucking 10-pack or something and we go have a party, like I'll be the wildest guy there. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's like I've got to keep the lid on it. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Mate, well, you got to do whatever's best for you. And it sounds like, you know, you got it worked out. And especially when you got a family and just trying to balance that.
Yeah.
That life out as well. So Central Coast, it's really building. It's good to see. And especially seeing representation with, you know, Jamie Mullarkey up in the UFC now.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your plan? What's the steps for Mitchell Burkett, the Koori kid? What do you lead, without giving anything away, if you've already been mixed up with promoters, like, is there a path that you want to lead to, if you're looking at the local promotions to the UFC?
There was, but then you take a few losses and then you just like path changes a little bit. Now it's just fight as much as I can, when I can, keep building that fan, but you know what I mean? Just keep building, like keep pushing. Eventually if you do something, you put some that much effort into something, something's going to come of it anyway. Like even if it's my own gym eventually, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Let's just keep it on that good path, brother. Yeah. And fucking, yeah.
That's it, my brother.
Yeah.
And staying on that path. So it's a mix of just straight up training, keeping the mind stable, and just waiting for that call. And because you're just constantly training, keeping yourself in that
mental
and physical space.
Well, that's why I've said 12 weeks at the moment, because I usually come
from... Is that a typical camp? Is it
not even. I don't have a typical camp. That's the thing. It's like, usually I get a thing 5 weeks out, get an offer 5 weeks out and just get ready for a fight. So usually I'm ready all year round, but because I've had bronchitis and stuff like that, I had to take a little bit of time off, had to work the lungs back up steadily, you know what I mean? Can't push straight back in. And then, yeah, now it's just I'll give myself... I've been offered a fight for 10 weeks from now, which I'll probably end up going next week. I'll take it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like... being smart, I'd probably say 12 weeks before I accept anything just to get me base and thing. But then at the end of that 12 weeks, I'd take a fight that day. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nah, that's awesome, brother. So, mate, I can't wait for something to transpire for you. And
hopefully it does.
Yeah, and hopefully it's not too far away. Oh, yeah. You know, you got to go where you got to go, but hopefully it's close, because they put them up in Sydney too. I know some of the Hex fighters are like in Sydney base.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have them down there too. Yeah, with Hex.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just Victoria all the time.
I think they have tried to bring a show to Sydney, but they haven't just yet. They might be doing it soon or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't know too much.
Yep. But mate, it's good seeing Aboriginal representation like at the highest level too, with Tai Tuivasa. You know. And just how did you feel the first time when you saw someone at that level, UFC? Because that's where every mixed martial artist, you know, dreams to be.
Yeah.
That's a pinnacle.
Yeah.
So when
pretty surreal, eh?
When you saw him with the flag coming out,
yeah, pretty surreal, man. Like you didn't think that, you know what I mean? Like you didn't. I don't know. Like MMA wise, didn't really expect it for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he fit right in, eh?
Yeah.
Like he was toweling up, blokes left, right, and
center. He's got a brand.
Yeah.
He's got a brand. This is all you need. Like, he's already lost 3 fights in a row, but, you know, you got a brand.
That's
you
can, right.
It doesn't matter. Like, just put your heart into it. Like,
yeah. That's it. And then that's where you guys are cut from the same cloth when you're talking Western Sydney and where some of that is instilled in you.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way, yeah? Am I saying that in a
way? Yeah,
right
now? Like, I don't think losses mean shit to you down there, you know what I mean? Like, fucking, like, you go 100% in everything you do and you do everything hard, but, like, you're losing out fucking living there in the first place. Like, there's not much that can beat you down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to keep grinding.
Yeah.
Keep tasting the fear, brother. Have a crack. So, but dude's a character. What about this bloody shoey business?
There's characters everywhere down there.
Hey, I'm all about, you know, righto, shoey, beer into the bloody shoe, crack it down. But when you first seeing these blokes doing it, tie two of us and Pedro,
yeah,
you know, bloody loogie.
Yeah, I know.
Bang, beer, down, swallow. Thanks
I'll be
for
lucky
coming.
To skull a beer, mate.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, leave that to the Western Sydney folk down there, you know. Won't get me sculling a shoey with a bloody big oyster in it. But, no, it's just good to see, you know, characters within
–
you know, that Australian characters that are building it up too.
And like the way Ty does it, he does it his own way, which is that's what I like about him, you know what I mean? And when an Aboriginal athlete does it their own way, man, you don't see that too often. So we don't have many role models because they're making us – they're putting these role models up here that are like – what would you say? Like we nothing we can really aspire to. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I know. What
they don't understand where we're coming from.
Especially if you've got athletes that might come, say, if it's Western Sydney.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you've got like an athlete that comes from like the North Coast somewhere and then you've got a group of kids –
like
that
everyone
are from that area, you know what I mean? And you've got that athlete, and if it's going back to community and building that up, so, you know, so it's guiding.
You know, like, real nice women role models in the community and stuff like
100%.
That. But male-wise, like, we don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, you see Ty, and it's just, he reminds you of your crazy cousin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, something relatable.
They do, you know, they do exist, but it just depends if it's sport or if it's, you know, or if it's not even sport.
But people try and put a little bit of a lid on it.
Yeah. Just depends, man. Like, it's different around the nation, eh? And different mobs and how it's addressed or just a person, you know. So if you're looking at if they're not, you know, because we do represent a lot at the highest level when it's got to do with sport. But also, you know, you do see it, you know, if it's got to do with journalism or, you know, if it's got to do with acting or if it's politics, like – There are Aboriginals that represent at that level too, but you know, but it's just
exposure, eh?
That's right, and it's good having these people at the highest levels that, you know, when you got youngsters or not even young, anyone that where if they're at a point of their life where they might stumble across this Aboriginal person that is doing a certain thing, and then that fits in within their thoughts and their niche, and then, you know. And then hopefully it sways them that way.
Yeah, well, the way I see it, like, you know, like, you might be a little bit of a fuck-up and then you see someone like Ty, who's a fuck-up as well, like, you know what I mean, like, full owns himself kind of thing, and you're like, well, look, he's doing what he's doing, just a fucking kid from Western Sydney. All these other kids from Western Sydney now can relate, and they can try and do the same thing, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Whereas
that.
Before, that, like, if you're getting the role model you can't relate to, it doesn't mean shit. You can't do anything with it.
You know, it can still be, you know, mucking up and be a bit of a clown, but you can do it in the...
Yeah, but pull your head in a bit. That's all,
that's
you
right.
know what I mean?
That's discipline,
like,
and have a bit of training, and that's...
Yeah.
Because you do see that, like, a trend of, like, mixed martial art, or just combat sports in general, where it's people that are in areas where they're blueing all the time.
Well, black fellas, like I say all the time, like, my brother will be running the muck doing bad, and then try and be good, and then they're in this little headspace where they're fighting between good and bad. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you can do a little bad. Just make sure you're doing more good than you're doing bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're,
just trying.
Just twisted a little bit with
it's just
the way things are taught to them or something.
Oh, well, it's just like everyone, man. It's just trying to find the right balance.
Yeah.
And sometimes it falls to the wrong path, and then sometimes it's in between, and someone doesn't...
I suppose it's just
they
life,
don't
want to
know what they do, and then... You know, and then you got other people that are up the other end of the echelon.
Yeah.
It's just life, brother. And it's like experience growing up, and you got all that, these outside influences, that's that what can either build character in a good way, or, you know, have that negative effect. But, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's got a different story, and, you know, if there's trauma involved or not.
That's the thing. You can't sort trauma. You know what I mean? It's messy. It's messy.
That's it. It's instilled. But, you know, if you can build upon that and rise above, brother, that's good. You know? And you've already talked about your your plan, your MMA plan, you know, and I, you know, I'm stinging. So you're thinking, were you saying before 12 weeks?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I reckon I'll take one in 10.
Take one in 10?
Yeah.
Right, right. So that's not too far away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, brother, like, I really appreciate you being here. And I just want to, do you want to shout out to some of your sponsors out there who's on board with you with this journey?
Shout out to Combat Nutrition and Drom Clothing. They've pretty much stuck with me from day one and continue to stick with me. So, yeah, just a big shout out to them, basically.
Beauty. And so, coming up, you know, you've come up through the ranks, the dedication that it takes to what it means to be not just an MMA fighter, but being an Aboriginal MMA fighter. So, what would you leave, message-wise, putting out there to other, you know, young males, females, out in community, urban, rural or remote, like leave some empowerment out there, brother, like what to strive for?
Just fucking have a dream, dream big, chase it, put a goal in place and fucking try and obtain it, you know what I mean? Keep yourself busy, yeah.
Yeah, stay on track.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, man. Like you can only change your life when you're willing to change it.
Spot on, brother. Righto, how can people get a hold of you? Social media? Throw it out in the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, just give us a like on social media. If you want to contact me, feel free to inbox me. We'll have a chat. Cheers.
Mitch, brother, have you got anything else to say?
Nah, bro, all good.
Cheers, my brother. Thanks for coming on, eh?
Yeah, thanks for that, Jake. It's good to talk to you, bro.
Cheers, bro.
All good. Oh.
See? Solid yarn with the fella. It's awesome. Just to see the essence of what it takes to be a mixed martial artist, what you have to put in to get results. And I hope nothing best for Mitch, the Koori Kid Burkitt, just to see where his career goes. Like I've said before, I love combat sports, so good on you, brother. And if you want to get in contact with me, you can get me via Instagram, at Street Rolling Cheetah, or email, one word, streetrollingcheetah@gmail.com. Or we got the Facebook page, Keep Rolling with Jake Briggs, so check it out. I want to thank our sponsors, Permabil Australia, the greatest electric wheelchairs in the land. Wouldn't be sitting in anything else but these four walls right here, and they got great assistive tech also. So righto, see you on the next one.